Where would we be without a Savior? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's the second or third one of those testimonies I've heard lately, ain't it, Brother Jerry? Tuesday last week, Brother Jerry goes in for a problem. When they get in there, they said, there ain't no problem. You're looking at one that was told had a blockage in the apex of the heart. Said, whenever we find these blockages, it's usually after somebody's been shoveling snow. They did the heart cath, and when they got in there, they said, that thing's clean as a whistle. So we didn't find no blockages. I'm telling you, we got a God, my friends, that loves us. But see, we look on the intestinal problem. We look on the heart blockage. We look on all of our problems. My friends, God's a whole lot bigger than these carnal and these temporal things. Bless God, He'll take your soul to heaven. I know these old bodies get sick, and there's all kinds of ailments that come our way. But Brother John, if that's the only thing we see is the temporal and what God can do for us and what He has done for us and what He might do in the future, bless God, we've missed it. We need to praise Him for who He is rather than what He does. We just need to worship Him, bless God, because He is Alpha and He is Omega. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Messiah. He is Jehovah Shalom, my peace. He's that we stand in need of this morning. But I'm telling you, my friend, God is good. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 3, that you must. What does that word must mean? Somebody help me understand must. You have to. Is that right, Brother Tim? Yes, must. Whenever he said, I must needs go to Samaria, Brother Woody, what did that mean? He said, I've got to go there. Whenever the book of Acts, chapter number 4 and verse number 12 says, neither is there therefore given any other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. What's that mean, Brother Kenny? You got to be saved by that name. What name was that? That was the name of the only begotten of the Father. That was the name of Jesus. And now here he is in the book of John, chapter number 3, and he's using that word must. And I find it to be the most aptly used, the most appropriate place to put the word must. Ryan, there's nowhere else that you could have put that word must and been any more correct in usage of that word. He's looking at Nicodemus, and here we are in chapter number 3 and verse number 1. I'm going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture because I need you to see what God's trying to tell somebody here this morning. He says, there was a man of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And there came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse number 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou cannot tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How could these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Brother Kenny, ask God to bless our scripture reading, if you will, my friend. Amen and amen. Let me just say real quickly, if you're one of those that just got a bad case of the worms this morning, would you get wormy beside somewhere in the sanctuary? If you're one that's just, I mean, you can't sit still and 53 times you got to go to the bathroom, go ahead and go now, and let's just give God just about 20 good minutes of his time. I won't be lengthy. I'll be just as short as the word will allow and God will allow. But I do want to be reverent in this today. It's important. And anytime God sends a message of such I'm talking about this is a serious message. It's magnanimous. It's strong. It's a good message. Not because I'm preaching it, because it's the Bible. But whenever you see those words must, you must be born again. And you find that out, that you can't save yourself. It's a need greater than human ability. It takes a supernatural occurrence. And we could go over to the 9th chapter of the book of John, and you could read through there about a man that was born blind. And this is probably the way most of us that have ever been saved by God's grace would find ourselves. And they kept on. The neighbors of the blind man tried to figure it out. They brought him to the Pharisees. They tried to figure it out. They took him over to his parents and said, "Is this he? Yeah, that's our son. And was he born blind? Yeah, he was born blind. Well, how in now does he see?" And the answer kept coming. I don't know how I just know that a man made clay and spittle, and he anointed my eyes, and therein now I see. I was blind, but now I see. I can't really explain it to you. And you know, that's kind of the way that it is. Being born again is a mystery that cannot be explained. But Brother BJ, it's a reality that cannot be denied. You hear me now. Bless God, I cannot, you look at me, you cannot deny that you were born. You're sitting here, you see flesh and blood. We're here today. We're all under this same canopy. We're all sitting here. The same sinew in muscle mass and tissue makes up each and every one of us. You cannot deny your birth. And bless God, if you truly get born again by God's miraculous and marvelous saving grace, you can't deny that. It's a mystery unto you. I don't know how it happened, Brother Greg, but I know what happened. I was on my way to a devil's hell, and God came by and convicted this boy's heart and drew me unto him. And then, Brother Chris, I've never been lost since. Amen. I don't know how it happened. I just know that something took place. And I want to share with you a few things today as the Lord will allow us. And let me tell you a few things to start out now that it is not. And I want you to understand this, because I asked my Sunday school class this morning what it means to be born again. And I heard all kinds of varying answers, and I'll share some of those with you in just a little while. But you need to understand what it's not. Before I tell you what it is, and before I really get you to that point of understanding, and God draws you to that point of conviction, you need to understand what it's not. My friends, it's not some prayer you prayed. Amen. You say, "Wait a minute, preacher, I prayed through." It's not some prayer that you prayed, Brother Woody. I didn't repeat after some preacher, and at the end of that 30-word prayer, all of a sudden, I just come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Bless God, it started before the prayer ever began. Yeah. I was on the third pew back, and whenever the Lord showed up that day, Brother David, before I ever stepped out, God was stepping in. And bless God, I don't remember what I prayed. So if I was banking my salvation experience, Miss Reba, upon something something that I prayed, I'd go to hell. I don't know what I prayed, Brother Tam, but I know what happened. The Lord stepped in when I stepped out, and bless God, by His marvelous grace, grace through faith, I got born again, Brother Chris, by that saving grace. So it's not by some prayer you prayed. If you got saved in some youth event, some I don't know where you might have been. When the pastor, and Brother Kenny, I hope and pray that we never get down to this up here, saying, if you want to go to heaven, raise your hand. Oh, my friends, every one of us would raise our hands. We all want to go to heaven. But I know what happens all over this land. They say, do you want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. Kids everywhere, raise their hand. Repeat after me these words. Kenny, how many times has that happened, preacher? Over and over and over. And then that little boy, that little girl, that teenager then goes through life, Brother Tim, counting on that raising of hand and acknowledgement of their lost condition was what took them from that place of a lost condition to that place of a saved condition. I'm not saying they didn't get saved. Some of them may have got saved. If God was dealing, God was working, and God was drawing, bless God, then they got saved. But usually, my friends, it's not some prayer you prayed. It's when you step out on faith. It's not some work that you do. Oh, we could throw money in the plate all day long and still die and go to a devil's hell. We can give alms and we can help little ladies across the street, and we can blow leaves and haul in wood, and we can do any measures for the widows and the homeless and all those people around us. But I'll tell you what, Brother Kenny, it's not some work we do. It tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, that it is by grace that we are saved. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And my friends, don't think that you're going to work your way into the high courts of heaven. It's just not going to work out very well for you. On judgment day, you'll stand there and you'll say, just like those in the Bible did, have we not cast out demons? Have we not tithed? And have we not given? Have we not done? Only to find him saved. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's not of works. It's not turning over some new leaf. Oh, there's a lot of people that this being the first Sunday in the Lord's Day in the new year, being 2018, eight meaning a new beginning. You might say, well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm going to start a new start right here. And that's the way maybe the church felt whenever in 2008 rolled around. It's a new beginning. The seventh of completion or perfection is over with now. We're getting a new pastor and these things go on. Brother Woody, it's the same old story. Just being preached again and again and again and again and again. But Brother Woody, it's not turning over a new leaf. It's not some New Year's resolution. I'm going to do better this year. There's nothing wrong with doing better. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with being a better person. I encourage that. But my friends, don't bank on to get you to heaven. It's not some turning of a new leaf. It's not some enrichment program. I have no problem with Stephen Covey or those that would write books about enrichment and personal success and trying to do better and trying your best to earn things and gain things. And I have no trouble with that whatsoever. But in a matter of salvation, my friends, there's no patch you're going to put on. There's no program you're going to go through that at the end of the fifth one, you finally graduate into perfection. Bless God, Brother Woody, the only way you're going to be made complete, the only way you're going to be perfect in Him is to be in Him. And that's to be born again. Nicodemus, being a ruler of the Jews, a wise man, a knowledgeable man, a man about the law. How many times did he have to ask that question? How can this be? How can this be? How can this be that a man would be born when he is old? I'm telling you, my friends, I'll get to that in just a minute. Brother Kenny, it's not driving a van, opening Sunday school, teaching a class, helping little ladies. It's not all of those things that seem to just come naturally for us that are saved. I want you to hear this and hear it well. If your mama or your daddy or your wife or your husband said, come on, go to church with me. Come on, Tyler. This is Grandma calling. Get up and go to church. Marty, you got to go to church. Come on, son, go with me today. If that's the only reason you're going to church, it's not right. I'm glad you're here. But that's not going to get you into heaven. Amen. I asked a man, Brother Tam, that used to work for me about his salvation experience. You know the first thing out of his mouth? Brother Johnny says, my grandpa. That's the first two words. He said, my grandpa has this thing, them little perfect attendance pins. You remember those things? Y'all ever have them? I don't know, maybe you get them out here. had perfect attendance, and every year thereafter you got one that hung under the one that hung under the one. And Miss Jen, before you knew it, you know, if anybody that's 50 years old, if they went to church, Brother Woody, they might have had 20 or 30 of them perfect attendance pins. And he said, my grandpa had all them perfect attendance pins on his chest. I said, good for grandpa. I didn't ask you about your grandpa. I said, Brother Dennis, I'm asking you about you. The same man, one of the last times I saw him. And let me tell you this, you may be prone to drinking alcohol and everything else, and that ain't going to send you to hell. Unbelief will surely do it. Yes, right. Yes, sir. People say, I'm drunk. That drink is going to send you to hell. One of the last times I saw him, brother, was at 8 o'clock on a morning. I don't remember what day of the week it was, but I saw him, Brother Woody, and he held his beer up to me, Brother Keith, about 8, maybe 5 minutes after 8. I was going into work that morning, and he had already been by there. And he held his beer up out the window. He said, I'm having breakfast. And I thought to myself, how sad. How sad that a man would start his drinking early in the day and not even finish until he pillowed his head at night and then do that again and again. But salvation is not just giving up liquor or giving up beer. Salvation is not turning away from this and that. You say, well, man ought to turn away from that. That's repentance. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Resolutions. You can be resolved all day long, Brother Chris, to do these things in life. But you know what resolutions are made for? They're made to be broken. That's all they're good for. They're just quickly made to be broken. Every one of us. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do better. You shouldn't be better. You shouldn't get dried out. You shouldn't. How many knows Monopoly? We know Monopoly. Do we not know Monopoly? You want Boardwalk and Park Place. Because if you own Connecticut and Vermont, yeah, Brother Woody, you can have all the rent you want to on Vermont, but when you hit Park Place, it's going to cost you. But there's one over in the corner. There's one over there in that back corner. And sometimes you get on that thing and it says go to jail, directly to jail, do not pass go, do not collect $200. Avery's grinning because Avery knows Monopoly. And sometimes you land on the little community chest, and the community chest lets you do what, Avery? When you hit that, what do you get to do? Draw a card. Yeah, he knows where I'm going. He said, you might get one of those. Say it again, Avery. Yeah, Joe Cog. He told me up the choir. He said, preacher, can I have that microphone? What do you get, Avery?
Get out of jail.
You get one of those little get out of jail cards. Now listen to me. Avery's what, 11 years old, 12? 13. A 13-year-old boy, brother, knows that when you're playing this great big game of Monopoly, you got life and you got the rent coming in, you hit the railroad and you got the electric bill and you got this going, everything going on, that over there in that community chest, you might get a card. Brother John, that card is a get-out-of-jail-free card. You play that thing and you get out of jail. A lot of times, my friend, I'm going to think that the devil would have us duped into believing that there's a get-out-of-hell-free card and all you got to do, just do this certain thing. All you got to do is measure up over here or do this, and the next thing you know, you get out of hell free. But Scott, if you ever die and go to devil's hell, you'll not get out of that thing and you won't get out free. It's going to cost you eternally. Oh, but whenever the Lord told Nicodemus, it'd be sad to think that that was a definitive statement that you were going to go to hell and you couldn't get out. And that's the way it is if you go there, but aren't you glad for Jesus Christ? He told him that you must be born again, and he said you can be born again of the water and of the Spirit. First off, listen, you can't save yourself. I can't save you. As much as you love your children, you can't save them. As much as you love your grandchildren, you can't save them. As much as you love your mama or your daddy, you cannot save them. It takes the power of only Jesus. I want you to think just a few minutes as we look back down through our scriptures tonight. How did you end up being born the first time? There was a love that come together between a man and a woman. Hopefully and prayerfully it was within the confines of marriage, although that's not always happening in the latter day. But through that conception of love between a man and a woman, there was an egg or an ovum, and then there, that thing was seeded, and that thing comes together, and it starts to split. Next thing you know, you've got a baby. Brother Kenny, there's no denying either. You can't be just a little bit pregnant. Anybody in here pregnant now? I know Kelsey's pregnant. Where's Kelsey at, huh? Are you just a little bit pregnant? You're a whole bunch pregnant. Kelsey said, I'm a whole bunch pregnant. Anybody here just a few weeks along just found out maybe they'd like to acknowledge that? The earliest test, boy, my wife set me up a few years ago, brother. Talk about, she deserved a beating. Y'all keep these scrapbooking moments. She had that EPT, and she kept that thing because it was positive, Jenny. She dug that thing out of some treasure trove somewhere. And I come in from outside, and it was laying on the bar, and I looked at the thing, like, what is that? What? What is that? I know what it was, Sam. Well, why has it got a plus sign in it? That's just dirty. That's mean. But folks, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you cannot be just a little bit pregnant. Whenever that thing says you're pregnant, you're pregnant. Now listen, Brother Ben, you don't have kids yet. But one day, if God lets you have kids and you have a wife, she's not going to be just a little bit pregnant. She's pregnant or she's not. And bless God, you cannot be just a little bit saved. You can be a little bit religious and you can go to church. But bless God, being saved is not being religious. It might make you religious in some aspects, but being religious will take you to a devil's hell. Islam is a religion. Islam is a religion of the Muslims. And that, my friend, will be those that'll take you and cause you to give your life by flying an airplane into the side of a building somewhere. But bless God, Christianity has your Savior dying for you and not you dying for your Savior. Yes. You can't be just a little bit saved. Either you are or you're not. I wouldn't advise you women to go home and prove these points to your husbands. He knows if he's saved or if he's lost. The same as you know if you're saved or if you're lost. You know that. I know that. Do I know it for my wife? I don't. By her fruits, by her works, by that common spirit of oneness that I share with her, I believe she's saved. If anybody going to heaven, I believe this lady is. But do I know that? Without a shadow of a doubt that this woman right here is going to be in heaven. I don't. I don't. I believe she is. She might have fooled the multitude. She might have fooled her pastor. She might have fooled her husband. She's never fooled God. Go back through the scriptures. Verily, verily, verse number 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you want to see the kingdom of God? Do you want to see the glories of heaven? Do you want to see the splendor of the 12 jasper, the 12 foundations upon the walls and those each gate of a several pearls? I mean, talking about it's going to be splendid. But greater than that, better than a crystal river, better than a sea of glass, better than translucent street of gold. That's where our Savior's at. Don't you want to see Him, Sam, for who He is? Don't you want to fall before Him and thank Him for what He's done for you? Brother John, to get there, you're going to have to be incubated as that baby was. Listen to me. You're going to have to be incubated. That baby, you didn't get pregnant one day and out pops Earl the next. No, it just doesn't happen that way. It went through an incubation period. And that same incubation period is namely this. The Bible says, for you are saved by grace through faith. Where did faith come from? Faith comes by hearing. Where did hearing come from? It comes by the Word of God. You sit under the sound doctrinal teaching of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. And somewhere along life's way, Tyler, that Holy Spirit of conviction comes in. And the next thing you know, bless God, that womb of grace has now started to take place. And bless God, you are birthed through that birth canal of faith, and bless God, you're saved and you are a new babe in Christ. Amen. Jesus. That's how it happens. That incubation period, that womb of grace is there. The Word of God keeps on coming and coming and coming and coming, and by grace through faith come right through the birth canal of faith, and there you are, a new babe in Christ. It's miraculous. Yes, it is. Can you tell me how two people can come together in love and the next thing you know, 9 months later, out comes a little bitty being, Brother Tam, with eyes that see and fingers that wiggle and toes that wiggle and legs that will eventually walk and a heart that beats without anybody telling it to beat. And it's a miracle. It is a miracle. It is a miracle when you have that, you see that happen. But is it not the same miracle when you take somebody that was given over to sin? Don, I mean, they were in sin. They were just not in sin. They were a part of sin. Sin consumed them. And then you see that person let go. And you see that person come down to an old-fashioned altar somewhere, Brother Kenny, and the next thing you know, they got up. Oh, they don't walk the same way. It's the same as it was with Jacob whenever he wrestled with the Lord all night long, and he got up, and the Bible said he had to walk different because the Lord had touched the hollow of his thigh. Let me tell you, Brother Tim, they get up and they walk different. They look different. They talk different. I heard Brother Scott say many times, he had on long, scraggly-looking hair. He looked like Eddie Van Halen. He just looked awful. And the next thing you know, he said when he got saved by God's grace, the next thing he know, Brother Scott said, the barber said, cut this mess off of my head. Nobody told him to go cut his head. It was the Holy Spirit of conviction that showed him. And by God, he started walking in a different walk, looking in a different way, dressing in a different way. Became altogether different. Why? Because he became a new creature. He got birthed into the family of God. I'm telling you what, it's supernatural. You say, well, scientists are doing this and doing that now, and people can choose their identity, they can choose their sex, and they can go in, and if they want a girl, they can make sure they have a girl, or they can better the odds by doing this. People need to stop playing God and start believing God. Listen, it's not changing the human nature to that of God's nature. It's not by works of righteousness, lest any man should boast. It's not religion. It's not the turning of a new leaf. It's not a resolution. It's not some new lifestyle. As Avery said, it's not a get out of hell free card. Listen, it's not some big old fuzzy warm feeling you get. A lot of people say they got saved and they said that it was that feeling that just made them feel so good. Let me tell you, I'm glad I've got something I can feel. But I'm not saved on my feelings. You know why? Some days I'd be lost again. Some days I don't feel saved. Some days I'm a miserable, I'm a mess. Brother Kenny, you ever get a mess? Oh, yes. Brother, some days I'm just a total mess. I'm a train wreck. I'm derailed, Brother Tam. But some days, bless God, there's no greater feeling than know that I'm wrapped up in that cocoon of love. And nothing can get me out of that. But all the things that I've told you this morning that it's not, I want to tell you what it is. It is a new creature. It is, as somebody in our Sunday school class said, a new regeneration. Brother Derek Bumgarner said it about as good as anybody. He said it was a regening. You took the genetic makeup of man and you did away with that and took on the genetic code of God. You were regened. To be regened would be to regenerated. It was to be birthed into the family of God. My friends, there's a whole lot of things going on in our lives. You can try your best to sort it all out. And for most of us, we do pretty good trying to... I don't know. I know Brother John said he had lost his job and now he's got another job. Is that not just something, Brother John, trying to juggle this bill and that bill, making sure that this is paid and that's paid and we got food and insurance is paid and the telephone gets paid and that. We do pretty good managing our lives. We all do. Your standard of living meets your income and your income takes care of your standard of living. You get more money, you do more things, you buy more stuff. That's all well and good in our secular, in our being, in our temporal. Brother, that's something you cannot manage. You cannot manage your salvation. You can't keep it. You can't fix it. You can't do nothing about it. That belongs unto God. The Bible said you are not your own, Brother Tim. You are bought with a price. You are His. He can keep you. Boy, I'd have been lost the day after, I'm sure. And probably 20 times a day since. Nicodemus asked the questions, how can a man be born when he is old? How old can a man be born? How old can a man be before he can get born? I've heard people saved as little as 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old. I don't put a time on it. But Brother John, it could be just like yourself. You're about 24, mid-20s, before God truly revealed himself unto you. And I'm just glad you did it whenever he showed himself. Be it 7, 11, or 27, 87, I'm just glad that you got saved. I'm glad that God revealed unto you your lost condition. Miss Macy, come over toward the piano, baby. As I see it opening up, it's a mystery. It's totally a mystery. Ron, how'd you get saved? How did you get saved? You said, I don't know. All I know is I was lost and now I'm found. How'd you get saved, preacher? Conviction come. Amen. But how did you get saved? You're taking me back. Amen. We're going there just to me. He's all over it. But how did you get saved? In your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. as Miss Macy gets ready to play and Brother Scott gets ready to get us a song of invitation. He said it started with conviction. You better believe it did. You better believe that it did. It was that acknowledgement of sin in your life. Oh, it's ever before you. It's there. What am I going to do with it? Now, that remains the question. What am I going to do with it? The Lord's come by. He convicted me. He showed me my lost condition. Brother Greg, we're not getting anybody saved until we first get them lost. There's a song our choir sings, "I'm glad I got lost." Until you acknowledge your lost condition, you will not try to find a solution past that. I've told this story probably more times than one. I'll tell you again. Cindy and myself on the other side of Children were in South Dakota, and I was stationed there. We started driving and driving and driving. Miss Cindy kept saying, "You better turn around." I wasn't about to turn around. Miss Tiffany, I wasn't going to turn around. If a hair lipped the devil, every demon in hell, I was not going to turn around. You know why I wasn't going to turn around? Tell me real quick why I wouldn't turn around. Because she told me not. Because she told me to. There's a rebellious streak in every man. Every woman, every boy, every girl, every child. Don't stick that back in that outlet. They're going to do it. I kept telling her, "Cindy, honey, just trust me. It'll come out. It will come out." It was only whenever I pulled into a little service station in a place called Four Corners, Wyoming. I walked in. There's a man asleep in front of a black and white TV set that had the rabbit ears with tinfoil on them. The TV screen's 12 inches. He's about this close, Tyler, and he's asleep. There's a wasper crawling across his ear. And I'm like, I go back out and I tell Cindy, I said, "There's a guy in here. I don't know if he's alive, if he's dead, if he's asleep or what." And she said, "Well, we need to know. Listen, for all you kids that's got Google Maps and Siri to tell you every direction, turn by turn instructions from MapQuest or whatever. You can have Waze and every other device today, but we didn't have it back then." Cindy's like, "Well, you got to find out." I go in and, excuse me, I woke the man up. He wasn't dead, thankfully. I said, "Sir, I hate to bother you when you're sleeping, but can you tell me how to get to Rapid City, South Dakota?" He said, "You're going to have to turn around." He said, "Where'd you come from?" I said, "I come through Spearfish Canyon." He said, "Well, you're a long way from Spearfish Canyon." He said, "You're going to have to turn around and go that direction, go the way you came." Folks, that's what being saved is. It's turning around. It's turning from your sin and turning to God. But see, the trouble is, Brother David, until I stopped, acknowledged that, yes, I was lost, I was not going to find my way out of that hole. But that's the way it is in life. We're stubborn. We don't want anybody else to tell us what to do. Listen, I'm not telling you what to do. The Bible's telling you what to do. You say, "I don't want to hear that, preacher. You're telling me that I must be born again." You keep saying that over and over. You're telling me that I must be born again. I'm not telling you. I'm telling you that, but I'm using it through the Scriptures. The Scriptures are relating through the man that you must be born again. Now, if I were to ask you, how many of you want to go to heaven? Surely every hand in here would go up, because I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go prematurely. I want to go when God's ready for me. When my mansion's done, I want to go. I'm going to move in. But if I ask every single one of us in here, young and old alike, do we want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven? We would all want to go. Now, if I asked you, do you want to go to hell? Surely I would pray nobody would want to go that way. But I've used this as well. If you get on 421 and you don't make a turn, you will go to Boone. If you keep going north, you will go to Boone. There's no way around it. You will go to Boone. You say, "Well, I won't go that way." If you go that way, you will go into Winston-Salem. There's no way around it. You will go there. That's the same way it is with hell. If you're on that road that leads to hell, there's absolutely nothing that you can do to change that except that you be born again. How are you going to do that? You're going to have to turn around. There's a road that leads to hell, a broad, beaten path that through the annals of time and the pages of history, the multitudes of people have gone there. But the Bible teaches us that there's a straight gate, a very narrow pathway that leads to heaven, that leads to home, that leads to where God is. And you know, Brother Kenny, the sad thing is, it says, Brother Chris, that few there be that find it. How do you get born again? You've got to go the way of the cross. You've got to go by the way of Jesus Christ. He said, you've got to be born of the Spirit. Now, we're getting to this final part. You say, "Preacher, how do I get born of the Spirit?" Stand all over the house. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. You said, "I don't understand that word quickeneth." It is the Spirit that maketh alive. It is the Holy Ghost of conviction that comes by you after you've heard the message, after the word has pricked your heart. The Bible said you are saved by grace through faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word. It's after somebody has preached the word of God, have testified the word of God, have sang the word of God, have just given you the word of God through some means or measure. It's then that that Holy Spirit, that person, the third person of the Godhead comes inside of you and starts saying, "That message was for you. That word that you have preached today is pricking a heart over here somewhere, preacher. Don't give up till I get that one to this point of conversion." Listen, conviction is not salvation. Don't you trouble me with that. Conviction is not conversion. Conviction is real. There's people that get under conviction, but they don't act upon that conviction. Why? Because, "Preacher, you don't know what I've done. Preacher, you don't know how bad I've been. Preacher, there's still some things I want to do. It's going to change me. I'm going to have to give up this, give up that." You won't give up anything. Miss Vicki, he'll take it away from you. He'll take the desire for that away from you. He'll change you. Brother Scott's got us a song today. Number 81, "Just As I Am." That's how you need to come. But Brother Kenny was right. Brother Chris is right. There's few to me that find it. But that, when that conviction comes your way, why don't you just do me a favor? Do God a favor. Do yourself a favor. The grandest thing that could ever happen is bow on your knees. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Can I show you conviction? Come here, Avery. Will you come over here? Don't want to come over here? I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't for nothing. Come here, Chad. You be Avery. Miss Cindy had prayed with Avery down in the Sunday school class one morning, and she came up. He wanted to see the preacher too. So he comes up to the top up here. Miss Cindy said, "Avery wants to talk to you." I said, "Okay, we'll go back downstairs." Little Avery, not much smaller than Brother Chad. he's doing just that. Little Avery said that he thought he needed to be saved. I said, "Okay, what makes you think you need to be saved?" He said, "Feel my heart, preacher." He took my hand and he pulled my hand to his little heart. That thing was beating Brother Kenny. He was going crazy on him. He didn't understand that. You know what that is, my friends? When that heart's a-thumping and you don't know what it is, but you know something's taking place inside, my friends, that's the Holy Spirit. That is the conviction that Brother Kenny mentioned. There ain't but one way to fix that, brother. Get on your knees. Ask God to forgive you. Romans chapter number 10, as we're standing all over the house, Romans 10 and 9. I want you to hear this. Somebody might need to use it just a short time from now. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Verse number 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's where it's at, my friends. It's bowing in faith, believing that that finished work on that cross, that empty tomb, and that soon come is all for you. As we sing today,